This is the Marketing Development Podcast, brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy, the online community designed to help you develop your marketing business, skills, and career by exploring the world of marketing and entrepreneurship. Here is your host, Pete Everett.
Hi guys, and welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today I'm going to start a two-part series for you about how to close SEO clients. This is a topic that's come straight from our Facebook group, so if you're not in the group, make sure you head on over to peteeverett.com/group, or just search Facebook for the Marketing Development Podcast, and you'll be forwarded straight on over. Couple of simple questions later and you'll be straight into the group. So I'd like to give a shout out to Mark Whirl for this. Thank you for commenting on my post a few days ago, and I hope you find this useful. So as I say, this is going to be a sort of mini two-part series about how to close SEO clients. And the reason I've split it in two is basically because I've tried to break this down and make it as actionable and practical as possible. And I want to look at both how you sell or close SEO clients that are existing clients with your agency. So that's part one that we're going to dive into in a second. And then part two is about how you close SEO clients that are brand new clients that you've never worked with before. And that episode is going to be out next week. So, of course, it depends when you listen to the podcast. If they've already been released, you can just listen to one, then listen to the other. Now, before I get going, there is two points that I want to make before, they're almost like disclaimers, okay? Before I go into anything, and this applies to both parts of the sales process, either to existing clients or to new clients. The first of these disclaimers is that before you begin, you must always make sure that you're not promising things that you can't deliver in order to win a client. And that is super, super important. It's not good for you and it's not good for them. And all it does is lead to a bad situation for both ends, both parties in the end. So that's disclaimer one. Never promise things that you know you can't deliver. And the second disclaimer is that you also need to be prepared to demonstrate a bit more value up front in order to get a sale rolling. And the reason for that is that this isn't just a one-off project fee that you're sort of touting for business for. You're wanting to create a retained agreement with these people. So whoever these clients are, you're going to be, I use the sort of phrase, getting into bed with. You're going to be relating to them, dealing with them, communicating with them, delivering work for them for an ongoing period of time. And often when these agreements start, they don't have an end date. So you've kind of got to treat it a bit like you're onboarding a new member of staff almost. Because you're going to have that regular contact with the client. They're not going to go away unless one side takes the decision to end the agreement. So because of that, it's worthwhile putting in a bit of extra value up front, A, because it's a bigger, longer-term sale, but also because you need to make sure that it's a good fit. Now, this leads us on to part one. So selling or closing SEO clients that are existing clients with your agency, and that's what we're going to be talking about for the rest of this episode. And the first thing is that not all clients are a good fit. So The benefit of working with existing clients, maybe you've built them a website before, or they've been a print client, or I don't know, you've done some small updates for them. I don't know, whatever it is. But because they are an existing client, you're in the driving seat to pick and choose who you want to work with. And that really puts you in, as I say, in the driving seat. It gives you the ability to sort of be a little bit more selective and grow your business with clients that you want to work with. So this is how our sales cycle works for existing clients. The first thing is that right in the website proposal, we do mention the fact that we have retained agreements, that we do retained SEO services, and it often just includes a list of the types of things that we do on a retained basis. However, we do not include any prices or any in-depth information. All we're wanting to do when we're doing a project proposal, right at the start of the project, is plant the seed that this is something that we can offer, and if it's a good fit for you, then we'll be having a discussion about it later. So now we've got this project in place, an ad hoc project in place, and we're working with the client and we've decided that they are going to be a good fit for SEO. Now, in this first scenario that I'll run us through, their website is still in production. So it hasn't gone live yet. We're still working on it. Maybe it's been designed and coded and we're starting to work on the population and the training. So we've got that. We've started to have a more sort of proactive discussion about what the website's going to be like when it's live, but it isn't live yet, if you see what I mean. So as part of that training, we will highlight all of the SEO elements that are required for the site and we'll demonstrate the tools. We do that anyway, regardless of whether we think somebody's a good fit. We're training you on how your back end of your website works, so we highlight everything that you need to do. However, if we want to progress this onto a proposal, we may also start to highlight the workload that's involved in this, the importance of getting it right, and also the ramifications that could come to light if parts of the SEO work are overlooked by the client. So maybe just adding in the fact that there's a sort of extra level of technical detail that's needed, some attention to details, you know, dotting the I's, crossing the T's, making sure you've done your keyword research, dropping in these things that the clients may not have done, but you know, just highlighting the fact that there's a bigger picture at play here. And in order to get your website to work properly for you, you need to address these things properly. And then we'll start to mention that we offer these services on an ongoing basis. We might cite the initial proposal and say, hey, you know, I don't know if you remember when we submitted our first proposal for this job, we did say that we did this kind of thing and we, you know, would be delighted to put something together for you just so that you have an idea of how much it's going to cost and maybe what you can expect out the other end. And so at this point, of course, the website isn't live yet. So we try and keep it as quite a light discussion. Very, very occasionally we might get a retainer start before a website goes live, but actually normally it's after it's gone live. People want to get that project finished first. So that, you know, at this point we may prepare a proposal, have an indicative price on it, maybe have an additional discussion with the client just to go through that proposal. We try not to just send emails with proposals on for any proposal and sort of leave it. What we try and do instead is either present the proposal, so have a call or a meeting if the situation allows, with the client to go through it. Or alternatively, we would send it on, but with that sending on, we schedule a call to go through it with any queries. So we're not just sending it and sort of hoping, we're trying to drive that discussion through. So that would be what would happen in training. We then get this new website live for the client. That's the project that we're employed to do. So that's where we're still working on that schedule. We're still working on that timeline and we go for it. And what we then do is once the website's live, we then monitor and track the website through launch and for the next 30 days or so. So we maybe put some keyword tracking on there that the client hasn't asked for. We maybe, do an initial health audit. It's a little bit dodgy that, because if you've just built a new website, really it should be clean, but maybe we would. And then what we would do is we'd send regular updates to the client commenting on how their new website is behaving in the search engines. So we'd probably do that in a weekly basis. And to begin with, we wouldn't be trying to sell them anything. We would just be saying, hey, look, you know, it's 7 days since your website went live. We've been tracking it. You know what? Some of your positions have dropped, but actually, you know, it's only been a week since your new website went live. We've not been able to notify Google. So Google's just sort of finding it as it's going. We're monitoring things. It's all good. We'll let you know if there's any more updates. And we do that for a couple of weeks. After 3 to 4 weeks, we would then resend the proposal, the SEO proposal, and kind of lead the discussion a bit more into the fact that, okay, it's been 3 or 4 weeks since your website's gone live. It's now kind of settled into its new position. And what we can see is that some of your terms are now at a lower place than they were with your old website, and other terms are higher. What's really key here, because you've been working with the client for a period of time, you should have an understanding of what their key products and services are. So if you can then look through your reports and find out where those key services are, so to say, look, you know, with your old website, your main service was on page 3, it's now on page 2, but just with that little bit more work, we'd be able to get it onto page 1, which would really start to demonstrate a difference in the levels of inquiries you get, for example. So really, you want to highlight the areas where you would start working so that you're fleshing out the bones. All of a sudden, this SEO proposal isn't just, hey, we can do some SEO work, but it's actually this is where we would start. These are the first, I don't know, four, five, six maybe actions that we would take. And this is the effect that we would expect to see over a few weeks to a month or so. And we'd have a discussion around the SEO proposal at that point. Again, if the client's ready for it. We would then keep that client on our radar for a further 2 months. So at this point, it's now 3 months since the website's gone live. And if we still haven't got an SEO retainer out of them, then we would at this point run a free audit report on the website based on 3 months of activity. So by the time a website's been live by for 3 months, the client should have started interacting with it in terms of the content that they're putting on. Or if they haven't, then some search positions may start to have reduced simply because they're being displaced by more relevant, newer content, essentially, in the eyes of the search engines. So we would run another audit report and a keyword report just to highlight where the client was now and give one final outreach to say, look, this is where you are 3 months in. We hope you're seeing a difference in your business with your new website, but we can still see some areas for improvement that we'd really like to work with you on. And as I said, if you can then find the data on their main products and services again, then that's a great place to to start leveraging the discussion. It's also worthwhile mentioning some of the things that you might do for quick wins. Now, when I'm looking at quick wins for an SEO project, I normally look at sort of boundary type key terms. So by that, I mean, if you've got a keyword that's in, let's say, somewhere between position 11 and 14, so they're only just onto page 2. So what is the work that we would need to do in order to get that over the line onto page 1 and from the lower parts of page 1 up onto the higher parts of page 1? So they're the kind of recommendations I'm talking about. And then, again, we would reoffer the proposal at one last time at the original cost. So I've not edited this proposal now since maybe it was discussed upon in training, or if the client wasn't that fussed in training, maybe we issued it when the site went live. But I've not changed it. It's exactly the same figure, the same term, the same monthly agreement, all of that kind of stuff. For reference, our retainers in our agency normally work from something like £600 a month upwards. We do have some clients that are paying nearer £2,000 a month, and we always work on a minimum commitment of 6 months. With some clients, if they're large e-commerce clients, we sometimes extend that to 12 months because we know there's a lot of work to do and we don't want to get cut off halfway through it. So that's largely what our terms are. So I re-offer the proposal one last time after this 3 month period with this extra report. So I've done a bit of extra added value there. But I also make the point when I deliver the report at this stage that should the website's health deteriorate significantly from this point, or should their rankings drop even further, I may have to revisit the costs of this proposal so in the future. So if they don't accept it now, then I can't guarantee that it'll be the same proposal in another 3 months' time. And basically, that's our sales cycle for existing clients. If somebody doesn't accept at the end of that 3 month period, then either they occasionally come back to us, or frankly, they just fall off the radar because they're not really all that interested in our services. And I've got other proposals to come through, other clients coming through, and I want to put my attention on them rather than somebody that, okay, I thought they were going to be a good fit, but if they're not, they're not. That's it. You move on. So that's how we do it if their website is still in production. What we do if their website has been live for some time, however, so maybe they've been through this process and it's now 6 months later, 9 months later, a year later, and the client's saying, look, you were right. I know we spoke about SEO before, but we didn't have the budget for it, or we didn't take you seriously enough, whatever it might be. We have a slightly different process in order to accommodate those clients. It does kind of hang around a similar sort of mentality, because clients, by the time they get to this stage, have probably seen our sales cycle once or twice already. Alternatively, I suppose another scenario is that it's a client that we didn't necessarily identify might be a good fit. And I don't know, maybe they've had a change of staff or something and they've reapproached us. So we give it a second look. So what we do in this case is, now I should also say this process from here on also works if you're starting to offer SEO as a new service. So if you are new to SEO services, whether you're learning them yourself or you're using a white label partner like somebody like SEO Hive, then this is basically the process that I would start with you. So the first thing is run a free audit on the client's website, a free SEO audit. Now, I wouldn't go into, there's a split school here about running free audits. Personally, I only do them with a very high level view, because at the end of the day, in order to put an accurate quote together, I need some information. So I'm going to do the top level stuff anyway, and I'll happily share that with the client. What I won't do, however, is give any specifics. If they want the specifics, they need to pay for them. So that's basically my rule of thumb. Anything that I would do as due diligence in order to put the proposal together, I'll happily share, but I will not go into specifics. And I know there's some people that will think that's too much, and there's other people that think it's not enough. For me, I find that's a good enough balance in order to demonstrate that value that I was talking about right at the start with the type of sale that you're trying to make. And also, it also hits the balance of not sharing too much. You're dangling the carrot, ultimately. That's what you're doing. What I'm trying to do from this audit report is demonstrate their current site health and their current search engine results page positions, their SERP positions, since their website has gone live. So as I say, that might be a year ago, it might be 6 months ago, however long. That's what I'm trying to demonstrate. What's the statement of fact right now? I then highlight that in terms of site health, I would normally run my clients with a health of 90% or plus, and their current site health is X. I ran a health check this week. The client's site health was 64%. Easy. Fill in the blanks. I then document that number alongside the process that I would put in place for their website to really work. And in order for that to work for them, they really need to keep three things in mind. One, their website needs to be healthy. I often use the phrase that your website health is a gauge of how well you're playing within Google's rules. So you need to be playing the right game. You need to be playing their rules in order for them to treat your website kindly, in order to look on it favorably for all of the other SEO efforts that you put in. The second thing I'd say is that they need to be generating or updating their content on a regular basis in order to build authority with the search engines. And sometimes I talk about search engines working in two sort of overarching themes, authority and trust. And the content is the authority piece. And then thirdly, it's the trust piece. You need to be proactively seeking and building backlinks in order to build that trust with the search engines as well. So that's basically the search engines not just taking your word for it that you know what you're talking about, but the fact that you're getting links in means that other people agree that you know what you're talking about. So they're kind of the three overarching themes that I would make sure are written down so that the client understands what it is you're trying to achieve by putting an SEO plan in place. You need to keep it healthy, you need to generate content to build authority, and you need to generate links to build trust. Again, if you can find the data on their main product or service, then again, that's always a good thing to put into a report, because it gives them the stark figures of where they are and where they really should be. And again, running a sort of simple, right, so your first month might look like this, your second month might look like the other, and we would address your main product or service first in order to show you maximum return. That would be the way I would lay out the sort of proposal. I then offer to prepare the proposal on this basis, that, you know, on the basis that we've just discussed. That I suppose what I've really been talking you through is my discovery call. I then put the proposal together based on that, and I'd submit the proposal either with a date in the diary to call them up, or I'd already have the date and we'd go through it together. And then I would then set about monitoring that website for the next 2 months. So I would actually allocate a seat on our software to monitor that website over the next 2 months. And if I hadn't had a follow-up after sort of, I maybe try them a couple of times for the first, I don't know, week, 10 days, something like that. And then if I hadn't had a follow-up, I'd follow up 30 days later at the start of month two. But I'd follow up with a new set of results to say, hey, look, here's the proposal that I sent last week, just to give you an update, your search positions are now this. And they may have got worse, in which case, highlight that. You know, the situation isn't getting any better until you do something about it. After the second iteration of that, I would reoffer the proposal one last time at the original cost. And again, just as I've done with the previous website, the previous example where the site was in production, by the time I get here, I'm now saying, look, if this deteriorates anymore, I may have to revisit these costs. So this is kind of your last bite at the cherry before we do have to re-go through this process and revisit the costs and the work and the effort that's needed in order to help you improve. And normally that's enough to push them over the line. If they haven't crossed the line at that point, then again, I move on. You're not going to win them all, so it's just important that you have a process in place so that you know what you're doing, because that actually lightens the load on your own sales process if you have a process for it. So next week, we're going to dive into what to do if you've never worked with the client before. That will be released next Monday. So I hope you found this useful. If you've got any questions, feel free to drop into the group. Show notes for this episode can be found at peteverett.com/107. And I'll see you next week.